If you or a loved one has had thoughts of self-harm, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
There's no limits in the city like shooting destiny. Now we're always smoking bombs like it's on 20. We get high as though it's hot and talk wrestling stuff. And it's hosted by Jim Vicious, Silent Buzz.
Welcome, thank you for downloading episode 199 of Suplex City Limits for February 2nd, 2019. While you were in the hospital bed moaning in pain, your wife was over at my place moaning my name. It's your boy, the King Bong style Jim Vicious, and you're only half the man that he is, and he has only half the brain that you do. My co-host.
And your mother's favorite dessert, Tyler Fudge.
There you go. Your mother's favorite dessert.
Yeah, take that, all you shit-eating fucks. I'm Jesus kidding, I love all yous.
Welcome to the show!
Hi!
Suplex City Limit's available for listening where fine podcasts are found. You follow me on the show Twitter at Suplex City Limit. Hit me up. I will hit you up back. You can follow Tyler at the Federation.
Yes.
If you like this show, consider supporting it by picking up a t-shirt at Pro Wrestling Tees. There's 5 designs available, all kinds of sizes. They ship everywhere for a price. Or you can donate on the PayPal, suplexcitylimits@gmail.com, like deep in your snatch, Cody fucking Hedge. Or go to Patreon, become a producer, like our good friends, Caleb Morganfield, Big Body Sam, Casey, new to the donations, Plain Vanilla, Martin Corns. Dude comes with his own nickname already.
Comes with his own nickname, man. He's like an action figure, I feel.
Who's plain vanilla? Who's like, I'm just plain vanilla?
Mark Corn, I guess. I mean, he's plain vanilla, and he's also a food that has no flavor. Corn.
We can,
maize, someone puts, if you will.
Someone put some sprinkles on him or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Jesus Christ, he's lonely.
B-Rad, Brad, he's not balding, Christopher Spaulding. The Smack It Down podcast, check them out if our podcasts are found. They cover a lot of stuff we don't, like Progress Wrestling, WXW. Yeah, all kinds
all
of different stuff.
All that Aussie stuff.
Well, it's not really, but...
No, I Progress. Mean, like, as well as all that Aussie stuff.
Oh, you know what I mean? Right, there you go.
Well, I don't even know, I'm not even talking about wrestling, just Aussie stuff in general.
Yeah.
Just like life down under.
Does Crocodile Dundee's accent give you a boner?
Yes.
Check out Smack It Down podcast. Max's Garage, Infamous Chris Savage, Kick-Ass Keith Martin, the Rice-A-Roni, Jabroni, Tyloni, Insane Ian Jackson, and Jumpin' Jeremy Fultz. This week on the show, we'll take a brief look back at the Royal Rumble and TakeOver Weekend. We've got a ton of news. I watched Ken Shamrock fight Tom Lawler in a dirty bar.
I can't wait to hear about that, by the way.
I watched Casanova Valentine bleed all over the same bar. I fix the length of WWE pay-per-views, Mark Tank, top three, all kinds of shit.
God
so.
Damn. Also, Casanova Valentine on the opening of Botchamania this week.
Oh, was he? Yes. I didn't see that. Yes. I haven't seen the new one.
No, Travis subscribes to it, and I watch it every month with him. It's fucking fantastic. I loved it.
One of the rough fucking people we rocket strapped on this show,
Casanova Valentine. Yeah, the latest in rocket strappings, actually.
Yeah, exactly. When we meet the dude, he's just like kind of doing some little bit of shit. And now look at this, one of the top hardcore wrestlers in the nation.
Yeah, when we met him, man, he was painting pictures. Now he's headlining bars everywhere. Fuck yeah, guys, we did it.
Did it. Like, I'm just gonna, if you ever come on this show and then become successful, I'm going to try to fucking leech off of it.
Yes.
That's just how it is. Speaking of leeching off people's talent, next week on the show, I hate to announce guests ahead of time, you know, because there's so many things that could fuck it up. But the B-plus players, somebody from that band, or maybe all of them, will be here. So,
ooh, this is the first time knowing about this, actually.
I think we talked about this.
Did we?
I messaged you about it, yeah.
Are you
they're,
sure?
They're your fellow countrymen, dude. They're a fellow Canadian
yes.
band.
Yes, we did. I'm just a
from
stone
Nova
mess,
Scotia.
Man. Nova Scotia. We're going to have a heated Maritimes discussion, I feel. Because I'm, you guys all know, from Newfoundland. And Newfoundland is just across the water from Nova Scotia. And we notoriously
It's
feud.
Like Nova Scotia's the second most fucked up Canadian accent, followed only by Newfoundland.
Exactly.
Yeah. Holy shit. We're off track. Let's start it off, as we always do, with the top three right after this message.
I'm Booker T, and my life as a TNA superstar can be exhausting. First, I put in long hours in the office. Then, I gotta rush home and help out with the booktuplets. And after that, I gotta take care of the chores around the house. That's why when I need a boost of energy, I use Stacker 2 6-Hour Power Extreme Energy Shot. With zero sugar and zero calories, I don't worry about a crash. Stacker 2 6-Hour Power Extreme Energy Shot. Energy with an edge, sucker!
Suplex City.
Limit.
Top three.
These Suplex City on this top three, our top three matches of the week. When me Booker T needs energy, I use straight up cocaine. Dang it.
Oh, we come for you.
Yeah, we coming for you. This week's top three, a mix of shit. Are you taking us through it, good sir?
Man, you know what? You know what? No, I'm kidding. Number one, let's talk about War Raiders and the Undisputed Era from NXT TakeOver Phoenix.
Dude,
that match,
taking wrestling when done right, is fantastic,
isn't it? Though, isn't it, man? Like that was something else. Just from the beginning bell, that match, it felt special. Like it feels so long ago now; it was like a week. but it's the war. I keep on wanting to say War Machine, but War Raiders. You knew that something big was happening for them by the time we were halfway through that match. You just feel it.
I think people who are fans of them from Japan and Ring of Honor, like, we all knew that they were one of the best tag teams in the world today.
Yes.
And I think like now all the more casual, the NXT fans, the WWE fans, now they know that too. It was a fuck of a match, dude.
It really was. The Undisputed, and we're not taking anything away from the Undisputed Era. They were just as good as War Machine in this match.
And in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, and in Ring. Well, yeah. Well, Bobby Fish wasn't in the match, but it was Kyle O'Reilly and Roddy Strong. They were never really a tag team in Ring of Honor, but they both were highly regarded as two of the best in the company at the time. You add them up as a team, you take them and have them face Hanson and Rowe. Well, Jesus Christ, man.
Right. When they came out, when Fish came out, this is Vicious, is like, does he have Down syndrome?
Bobby Fish?
Yeah. Like, holy fuck, man.
Oh, man, she's taking his old moniker, the jerk. The jerk, yep. Bobby Fish. That's the jerk.
Well, you know, I don't know what you'd expect from a woman who'd date me. So.
Well, I mean, I guess.
But yeah, it was really good. We haven't really done shit with the War Raiders. You know, they kind of had them. Sat around, and it's like, so now we can actually start this, but we'll see. I thought the entrance was cool, too. They had the entrance. It took too long.
It did take a little too long, but the only saving grace was it was the beginning of the show. So if this was later on in the show, I think it would have really, really fuckered it. But
you know, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. This show, the crowd was all crazy for that match. That was great. War Raiders are the new champions, as they fucking should be.
Yep. No, I agree. There's a trend that not really a trend, but it goes exactly opposite from the story that the Undisputed Era have been telling, where we're going to hold all the titles, and now at the end of tonight they had none. So it's interesting where they're going to go from there. And
doesn't Cole still have the? Oh no, he did lose that, right?
Yeah, that changed hands twice.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot to keep up, dude. A lot of strands and old dude's head.
Yeah. And you know what? My old head there, it's a little bit freed up because I don't watch weekly WWE like you, so.
Oh, dude. I'll tell you about some of that later.
I'm sure you will. Maybe later. But our next match, let's go with Johnny Gargano. And actually, you know what? No. No. I'm actually got Johnny Gargano, Ricochet. Sorry. See, this is why you usually do it, Jim, because I'm fucking horrible.
I think you usually do this.
Yeah, I do usually, yeah. Yeah, I was trying to seamlessly go where we could just keep on talking about TakeOver after the top three, but I kind of fucked that. But Gargano and Ricochet, that was a fuck of a match, man. That was they pulled everything out. Johnny Gargano really cemented the fact that he is Mr. NXT, Mr. TakeOver, whatever they want to call him.
Mr. Best Matches in that company?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, really good shit. Out. I didn't like that they stole the fucking Ibushi Osprey spot. Like, come on, dude. Like, we already saw that shit. And it was way cooler because they actually have good production with good camera angles in Japan. I don't know. It was whatever. Like, do you notice how much shit is just lifted on in there? Like, even the women's rumble, you see the women's matches. Sasha Banks always trying to do all kinds of shit she sees in Japan. Nearly kill herself. It's like, come on, dude. But yeah, really good shit in this. Ricochet out over the fucking the post. It's crazy, always.
Yeah. No. And did you see how he was being really hard on himself? How somebody was like, it's crazy how Ricochet doesn't fuck anything up ever? And he's like, are you fucking kidding me? I hooked my toe on the rope. It's like, dude. Get over it.
I didn't even think the post I saw, they were saying that. They were just like, look at this. And he's like, yeah, I fucked it up. You know, like, this guy takes his shit seriously. But this was a tremendous match. One of the best matches, I think, in TakeOver history, maybe. I mean, like, it's up there.
It was really, really good. I want to preface it by saying one of my two favorite matches, actually, I got to say three, is Gargano Gargano and Almas from Royal Rumble. Then there's Nakamura and Zayn. And then there's Sasha Banks and Bayley. And that's strictly basically an emotional one, you know what I mean? Just the story they told. But this one ranks up there for sure. And it's crazy Johnny Gargano's there twice.
He's the fucking man down there. He becomes the new North American champion, which, you know, so too many belts down there, but that's a story, discussion for a different day. And the other match in the top three this week, Tanahashi and Kushida and Kushida's farewell match.
Yeah, it didn't start the way I thought, you know what I mean? It wasn't the match I thought it was going to be, but I thought it was highly entertaining, especially after when Tanahashi and Kushida started trading those slaps. The hard hits, it really got the match really going and it kickstarted it to a different level. And from there, it became what you thought a Tanahashi and Kushida match would be. But I did like the slow limb work that they were trying to do, and how Tanahashi was trying to ground Kushida from doing his flying, and how Kushida was trying to overcome it. I thought it was great, like the rolling DDT, how he couldn't pull that off. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I didn't expect them to come in here and do crazy ass shit. You know, there's no point for either of them to do that.
No, because you got Tanahashi on one end, he's going to Switchblade, a New Beginnings, and then Kushida is going to the States to WWE. So,
I hate to like get us more off track, but do you hear that Switchblade is supposed to be getting all of Omega's shit?
What do you mean
all of Omega's booking?
Oh, really?
Evidently. It's just something I saw.
Huh. I mean, I don't know if that's... Gato books so much in advance that he almost got to just placehold somebody in that role. You know what I mean? And it's a shame that Switchblade would be the guy, but that's who they're trying to build. I think it might just force them, though. You know what I mean? It might feel forced if it's Switchblade.
It already feels forced.
Yeah, it would just feel more forced.
You know, I watched a thing that was really interesting. Somebody posted, I think it was from 2000, I mean, not even that long ago, 2016 maybe, where Okada comes in and he trips on a mat.
Okay.
It was a Fantastic Mania show, and he trips on the mat, and then he points back at one of the young boys like, you fucking did that. And it was Jay White, and it was like 2 years ago.
Really? Oh, that's cool. Like, yeah. I'm shocked they haven't put that into a storyline.
They didn't. Someone else tweeted it. Someone else, you know, just posted a GIF of it, and I was like, oh, fuck.
that's actually
my point
really
is,
interesting.
My point is this guy came in, he was like a fucking young boy, what, 2 years ago? If I remember correctly. And yeah. Now he's where he is. Like, they've forced the shit out of this. Yeah. And I don't think it's gotten over, maybe with just Japanese, but the people we know, I don't know anyone who's like, fuck yeah, I love that guy. You know, everyone's like, eh.
Yeah, like, I like his work. I think his work is fine. He's a really good wrestler. But the facial, there's nothing in the facials. There's no, I don't feel like there's any charisma whatsoever.
There you go. I don't know. Yeah. So that is the top three for this week. What else do you want to talk about on TakeOver? Talk about Sam Roberts, dude.
Oh, and his shade on Bianca Belair.
Loved it. I heard this week. He basically said he claims that he was not. Well, he was not fed that line. That's his fucking belief. And. He stands by it, and, you know, he did obviously say that he was talked to after the show, I'm sure. I mean,
you know what,
obviously, though, they're not approving of that.
No, but it is a belief. You got to see where he's coming from, though. It's true. You know what I mean? Bianca Belair, if you look at TakeOver, what it is, like exactly what he said, it's the best of the best. Why is Bianca Belair there when you got somebody like Io Shirai or... Or, you know, just a multiple of other talent that could be in that position. I understand the story, but in the other hand, it was the weakest show of the night, or match of the night, by leaps and bounds.
We've given Sam Roberts a lot of shit, and I'm in the past, and I'm going to in the future, too, because he deserves it. But
yes.
For this, dude, I was like, good on you, man. You fucking have your stance. You said it, and you refuse to back down. And he's like, people want me to apologize to her. I'm not going to do it. Like, fuck yeah, dude. For the first time ever, I was like, Sam Roberts.
Yep,
he's a real little boy now. He's not just a puppet anymore. You know?
And you know that if you lie, his nose will grow, so.
Exactly. You're a real boy now, Sammy. Bianca Belair, though, dude, it's like people are like claiming he's a racist and like, fucking calm down, dude.
Man,
yeah, that Jewish guy is a racist. I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
It's like the most persecuted group of people in the fucking
planet.
You know, I imagine he's Jewish, isn't he? He must be.
He's got like that's really bad of us to just assume it, but it.
If not, I was
Jewish person you ever met with the last name Roberts, really?
Yeah. Why do I think he's Jewish? The Jufro, that's why.
Jufro is what it is.
Yeah. If I was Jewish, I would fucking be pissed at him for cultural appropriation. That is our Jufro. We let Garfunkel use it for a while in the 70s, but you can't just be going and using our shit.
Just fucking look like Simon, man. Jesus Christ. Paul Simon, not Garfunkel.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway. That was offensive shit. Not really. So good on Sam. Anyway, what else you got on this show?
Well, from there, we might as well talk about the Bianca Belair and what's her face? Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, I didn't give a shit about it.
Like, it was a nothing, really. You know what I mean? Like, it was really a nothing match.
It's Belair's first loss, which, you know, I guess if you had to give her first loss.
Shayna Baszler's the one to do it too, but it was just a placeholder match, I guess. You know what I mean? It wasn't really nothing at all. I wouldn't say it was a horrible match, but there was, you know, some flubs and hiccups. But
yeah, do you know that girl walked in the door 2.5 years ago down there?
Bianca Belair.
Yeah,
she's come a long way in 2.5 years. Is all that's one thing I will say.
She reminds me of her husband in the same regard that, like, they're
Montez
both super
Ford.
Athletic, but they don't really know shit, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And the knowledge of the business, it'll come in time. That's why they're in NXT, to learn how to work a match properly. And because they got the moves down, they don't need to worry about that now. So just learn how to work a proper match, and I think the sky's the limit, really, for both of them.
Yeah, it doesn't really. I don't have anything against Belair. I think she's good. I do agree. I was like, why is this on the show? Kind of a waste of time. But it was pretty good. It wasn't like a fucking abortion or anything.
No, God no. No. I don't want anybody to think that we're calling that like worst match of the year or whatever. You know what I mean? It's
not worst match of the show, but
yeah,
it's still
match
a good
of the show
match.
By far. It's still a good match. And then the only other match, Noah's. There's five matches. Why do I feel like I'm? What's the one I feel like I'm? Cassius Ohno and Matt Riddle.
Yeah, you know that explains it right there. Exactly. Why do I feel like I'm forgetting this match? Because it was
forgettable.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're moving Matt Riddle on from Cassius Ohno, because we all the Cassius Ohno feuds to me are pointless because you've already cemented them in our head that he's not going to win them anyways. Because Cassius Ohno kayfabe sucks.
Well, he beats a bunch of fucking
he beats jobbers,
and then he loses. And I like that position. He's a guy who knows what he's doing. You know, I mean, but yeah, you only can do that so many times before it's like, all right.
Yeah, because like this year, like, in recent memory, it's been Keith Lee and Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The best spot of this was that much to the excitement of a gay foot fetishist somewhere. He bites Riddle's toe. I thought that was pretty fucking great.
He did. That was funny.
I'm surprised they're letting him wrestle barefoot without taping his ankles, at least.
But look, think about this now. This is something I didn't like. He bites his toe, takeover. What does Sasha do the next night on Rumble? She bites Ronda's hand.
Oh, well, I mean, that's...
No, but like, it's even in a submission hold. You know what I mean? Like,
Fair. But yeah, there's really nothing there with that. Riddle wins by strike submission. I thought that was cool.
Yes, that was a really dope way to end it. I thought it was different. It was cool, especially a guy like Matt Riddle doing it. Somebody everybody likes.
Okay, here's a question. So I like the tap out by strikes. What about if you work in, like, say AEW, if you're starting from scratch, if you work in that there can be fucking knockouts, ref stoppage?
I mean...
Or is that not... You probably can't do it with wrestling. Unless it was, like, directly from strikes, you know? That wouldn't work, would it?
This is the rocky road that you would go down at that point in time. You'd have to eliminate punches altogether from matches. You know what I mean? Because, like, whose head is built that can take all those punches?
Yeah. I guess you're right. You can't do that, but I do appreciate this.
Yes.
And I hope they don't, like, you know, do it like the pass-out spot, which they've done into the fucking ground at this point. They do pass-out spots on fucking pass-out submissions on
Raw. Every second night.
Yeah, pretty much. And Black versus Ciampa was also on the show. It was fucking really good.
It was a really good match. It's just, how could it follow that North American title match, really? Nothing could follow that. Like, the Baszler match was after, but, like, the whole crowd was down really after the Gargano-Ricochet match.
Yeah. I thought his main event was really good, too. That crazy top rope cutter onto the apron was fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, I like the tease to when he took the mat off the floor. I like how they never went back to that because they did it in the Gargano match, and it's just playing, you know, showing how Johnny Gargano, you know, went to his pals, old pals' tactics to win the match, and then at the end of the match, it explains it. You know what I mean? It's so good.
Such a fucking nuanced story for wrestling, anyhow. That, yeah, he tries to beat Ricochet. He can't do it. And he has to pull up the mats, and he has to pull the dirty shit that Ciampa's pulled. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And then the two heels together posing with their belts. It's like, it's stupid. It's one of the best wrestling stories in the last, you know, at least in America in a long fucking time.
It's been
I wouldn't
years.
Say it's a better story than, like, you know, Omega Okada or even like Omega. Cody was probably a better story than this. But, well, maybe not, actually. I might take that back.
If it's anywhere, if it's not above it, it's just one below it. You know what I mean? I think it would go Okada, Kenny, even honestly, Okada Tanahashi is a better story. But I mean, we don't really want to split hairs here. It's one of the best stories, at least in America for sure, for years.
Feels like it. Other than every story on Lucha Underground. I haven't talked about Lucha Underground in forever.
You're just itching. And you're just going to be itching for weeks. Don't scratch too hard now.
Or forever.
You could be itching
Please
forever.
Come back. Please do another season. Through Royal Rumble, let's move through here. Because this show's going to be forever, and who cares about this old shit. Old Not to say this shit. Is a bad show. I like the show. I thought it was just, as everyone says, way too fucking long.
It was.
I know how to fix it.
Well, okay. Okay. What would you exclude from it?
This has, let's see here. This has six matches on the main show. Is that really what it had?
Was it?
Seven.
Main show. One, two.
I'm looking. Three. Here. Basically, you eliminate Miz and Shane.
Yeah,
the tag match
should have been not there for sure.
So you have two women's championship matches, two men's championship matches, and the two Rumbles. If you do this the right way, it shouldn't take all that fucking long. The Rumbles should each be an hour about. They went kind of long.
The women's Rumble match did go long.
Yeah. So if you have 2 hours for the Rumble matches, and then you have four other matches.
Yeah.
You give them each 15-20 minutes, and you can get out of there in 3.5 hours.
I do you one better. You can probably do like the Asuka Becky match, give them 15-20 minutes. The AJ Styles Daniel Bryan match, fuck it, give them 20-25. Brock Lesnar and Balor, less than 10 minutes.
We're short anyway.
Exactly. But like that one would be short, and then Ronda Rousey and Banks, that should have been short as well.
Yeah,
because if you're going to have Ronda Rousey win, if you're trying to have her as that badass, if she's going to win, have her win decisively.
Yeah, it's just too long. I can't sit and watch. And it's not even that great. Even if it was a great show, which they don't really do those anymore, I wouldn't want to watch it for 6 hours. Even the best thing in the world, I don't really want to go for 6 hours.
No, the best sex in the world shouldn't last 6 hours.
Yeah. Well, when you're young,
Fuck that.
Maybe. I don't know.
Fuck.
You'll see that shit in movies, right? And they'll be like, oh, well, fuck all night. You're like, I'm good, dude.
No,
like,
man, I'll fuck you. I'll get you off, and I'll get off. Maybe if you really want to, second time. Fuck it. But no.
I don't want to go fucking look around in the fridge for fucking leftovers.
Yeah, I want to drink some milk, eat some Sun Chips, and watch something and get stoned.
What a weird mix, eating Sun Chips while drinking milk.
Oh, dude, it's the best. Have you never tried that? Dude, no, dude. You need to get yourself some French onion Sun Chips, okay? French onion Sun Chips and some chocolate milk. You got yourself a fucking day.
Chocolate milk and Sun Chips.
Yep.
I guess you could, because I can see the sweet and salty. I do enjoy a sweet and salty mix, but that might be too far.
No, man. And chocolate milk and Funyuns?
This dude who used to sing in one of my bands, and he always would have a half gallon of chocolate
growl?
Milk on the stage.
Is that what he used to growl? No?
This is a band that had that actual singing.
Oh.
Stone Cloud Sunday. Oh, it's all over the internet. Go listen to it if you want. I play guitar in that band. But yeah, he always would have a big jug of chocolate milk that he would drink on stage. And I've played a thousand fucking concerts. I've never seen somebody drink chocolate milk on the stage.
I've never either. No, I can easily
fucking
say that.
Gross. Like, you're thirsty and you want to drink chocolate milk to quench your thirst?
Make you more. Do you want to be uncomfortable?
I think it's for the phlegm. It gave him a good grind and a fucking, who knows? Anyhow, this isn't a chocolate milk podcast. This is a wrestling podcast. Why don't we start one? Sign up to our Patreon now and get our chocolate milk podcast.
Yeah, where we test chocolate milks from around the world.
Bessie's Best out of North Dakota. Fucking bomb.
Brookfield from Newfoundland.
Okay, enough of this chocolate milk. We need to get through this. I thought the stage setup was lame. They're in a baseball place, so they came out of the dugout, which I get.
I loved it.
I liked that it was different, at least. I mean, I'll give you that.
It was all the I liked the curve. Well, okay, so I liked the curved entrance, how it then just goes right straight to the ring, and I did like the dugout. I would have liked something else there, on top of it, but I can live with those holograms. I don't hate the holograms. So,
a lot. Some people do. It's really torn. Some people hate it. Some people like it. I think it's cool, man.
Yeah, like if I like, this is the way I look at it, man. If I was a kid and wrestling had these holograms, do you know how much more into it I would have been?
I think you could go even farther with them. You know, right now they're like a static thing, right? Yeah. I think you could do a full type fucking animation where things happen, you know, it could come out and it could come up and, you know, you could do all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
I like the Lesnar one. It's super cool.
Yeah, that was, if it didn't have WWE World Heavyweight Championship, your champion written on it, that would have been even better.
Yeah, well, I like that shit. I'm all for it, man. Keep it coming. But, you know, the Becky Asuka thing, it's, I thought she should have passed out instead of tapped, but yeah, that's just me.
Yeah, no, I get that, but at the same time though, you're cementing Asuka, you know what I mean, and
yeah,
it allows them to come back to Becky and Asuka in a later date.
We picked a lot of this shit.
Of course, because not I don't want to undersell our genius, but it was also predictable.
Yeah, and I thought Asuka Becky was, you know, pretty good match.
Yeah, no, I was a fan. I wish that we did get to see that nip slip. Becky's tit fell out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That would have been nice to see, but I mean,
Kevin Dunn was on point on that one.
Yeah,
fuck,
but
you,
he probably
Dunn
fucking recorded it on his phone. Went home, and beat off though.
Yeah, dun 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 dun. Miz and Shane defeat the Bar as we expected. It's just fucking whatever. Shane doing a shooting star is tremendous at his age. Like, dude, the guy's 50-something fucking years old doing shooting star presses. That's insanity, man.
He did it better than that fuck it guy that was over to the internet this week. Did you see all right that? The guy in the turnbuckle, he's like, he's starting to fall. He's like, fuck it. And he goes for shoot star press. Impales on the post. What a fucking loser.
But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that was an example of a match that had no point on the show. Just don't even do it. Fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, the secondary titles should just be on the shows. That should be that's why I always support a television title. You do that, you work angles for that week to week, and you have the big defenses on the show, you know, and it doesn't need to be on these big fucking shows where you have the long, at least Royal Rumble, where you have long Rumble matches. But
yeah, anyway, you didn't need to do that. You could have easily put some of these matches on the pre-show.
They had a whole pre-show full of fucking matches.
Yeah, but who needs to hear all these guys give all their opinions? Like, how many opinions does one person need to hear in 2 hours? Really,
who's
though?
Who sits there and watches that for 2 hours? Like, you're a fucking sick individual if you do that.
Yeah, you are.
I know people who do, actually.
Oh, really? I to my knowledge, nobody has ever expressed to me that they do.
I think they usually turn it on, and, you know, I've done that before, like Mania, I'll turn it on while I'm cooking and you know, doing other shit.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what else we got? Banks, Rousey. You know, I didn't think it was great at all. I thought there's a ton of rough spots. And I mean, you know me and Rousey. I think she's terrible.
She automatically gets a star deducted just because it's Rousey. But
no, I just think she's bad. Like, everyone says she's good at stuff. Like, Meltzer every week, she's like fucking creaming his jeans over her. And she's so good at this and that. Like, I don't think she's good at anything. But that's just me. She's good at pulling shorts down.
The only like, it's sure, she's been there for what, a year now or whatever. The way I look at it, she's not my cup of tea, but I mean, she's only been doing it a year. I think she's pretty good for only doing it a year.
I agree.
But by no means is she the face of the company good, you know?
I don't think she's, you know, and this is going to be weird to say about somebody who is a, you know, Olympic medalist in athletics, but I don't think she's that athletic. She's athletic in a judo way and in a fighting way, but she's not like, doesn't have natural grace when she's moving. She can't like jump excessively. She's not athletic like Bianca Belair, who's, you look at her, you're like, this chick's super fucking athletic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's because she's just white. White people fucking are very goddamn athletic.
White man can't jump, man. They made a movie about that. Wesley Snipes.
And they can't dance either, right? So.
Oh, fuck you, man. I can dance up a goddamn storm. You should see me break a move.
Bust a move? I busted it so much it's broken. So.
Yeah. So that's exactly what I meant.
So the Rumble matches. What is her name? I don't have it.
Whose name?
This is an offensive note, but I'm going to read it as it comes from my notes. That the hot Chinese broad is my Jim Vicious hottie of the week.
Xia Li. Xia Li.
Yeah, son. She's hot.
She is. She fucked up a lot, but she was hot.
Yeah, she was fucking hot. Pass. Penelope Ford also. Co, maybe. I never really paid attention to how hot she was.
Penelope Ford is fucking retardedly hot.
Yeah, and she's fucking filthy too, and it's great. She takes the
is
bad
that what
girl
she's
thing.
Doing now? She left Joey Janela, and she's with Filthy.
No, she's with him, but she's the bad. You know, he's the bad boy. She's the bad.
Oh,
so yeah, that's their fucking deal. Anyway, the women's one. I mean, there's no point at this. You know, we're a week away. It's like in the rearview mirror. You know, I don't know. I thought it was long.
The only thing that I can say is that this match went way too long, like you were going to say, that I rudely interrupted.
Yeah.
And it's all because so many women fucked up their opening spots the whole way through the match. It would take them so long to do their spot that it prolonged the match and made it way too long.
I fucking hate that that is a thing in pro wrestling. If you're going to do something like this, do the times as a shoot. I don't give a fuck. Figure it out, dude. The fact that you will go minutes before the next one just so somebody can get some shitty spot in is ridiculous. Plan this shit out and do it fucking right. Because that's like you're asking me to accept something beyond what I'm willing to. You know, it's beyond how far I can suspend my disbelief.
Yeah. No,
when I have to watch a shitty spot for 4 minutes before somebody comes. I wonder what the longest one was in this match.
You know, that's something I wish I knew. You know, that would be actually interesting.
Yeah, if you know, I could tweet me and tell me. But yeah, I can nitpick a ton of things here. You know, I could talk, you know, but it's just pointless. Right?
Yeah.
Like Vega. Pointless. I like that Zelina Vega looked like Vega from Street Fighter. That's going to give me like
cool.
A weird sexuality complex when I play Street Fighter now.
I like the Hornswoggle bit.
Yeah.
I was a fan because we all know Vega's not going to work. That's not going to happen. Vega's not going to win that match. She's going to lose. But like, having Hornswoggle, I'd rather Hornswoggle in that match than the men's match because it just.
She came out and like gets in the ring. She's doing all her shit. She's fucking, you know, cleans the joint out, and then she gets out of the ring and hides under it. Like, what? And then, too, it's like a cartoon where she's popping her head out and looking around. Like, I mean, tough. Fuck, I don't know.
That's not what I was a fan of. I was a fan of her popping her head out once and Hornswoggle being there as well. And then just the ensue of Hornswoggle chasing her, I thought was absolutely hilarious. I died.
Sexual predator Hornswoggle.
Yes, that's why I thought it was funny.
Yeah. Oh, you better run. He's going to get you.
He going to fuck you till you die.
Oh, my God. So there was that. I don't know.
Funny enough,
we do a pool at the Suplex City Limits Facebook group. If you want to hang out with... Like, all, you know, all the purely the people you hear on this show are all in there. You just kind of fucking hang out with, you know, people. Anyway, we have a pool. I was number 28 in this pool, and I got Lana. And I was like, fuck me. But in the end, I got Becky Lynch at 28, and I won. What a cheesy fucking deal.
I believe, was it the Women's Royal Rumble where me and my brother pulled 1 and 2?
Dude, I have it's all legit. I made a list and then I do the fucking random number thing. I just do them in the order that my list was, and so yeah, I won the Women's Royal Rumble pool, which is fucking funny. A 1 in 30 chance, and somehow it happens. What else do we have with this? Ryan Styles, I thought was just boring.
Really, I didn't think it was boring at all. Like compared to it lacked in excitement because of the Becky win, but I thought the match was good.
I think on a normal length show, I would be all about this. But at this point, I was fucking exhausted. And I was like, they still got all these other matches left? Like, I was just exhausted at that point. So, and I think the crowd was too. You saw the crowd was not super into this match because they've been there. A boy, shout out to a hot tub guy, fucking Deshaun. He was at this show. He told me he got there at 1:30 local time.
Oof.
And this is like 8:30 at night. You know, it was like they were there in this building. If you stayed for this whole thing for like 8 fucking hours.
Wow.
2-hour pre-show, nearly 6 hours of regular show. Time to get in. I mean, it's like you fucking, I would not want to spend that much time at an arena full of people. That sounds terrible.
It, from a guy that went to WrestleMania and sat through the whole pre-show and the show.
Yeah.
It is very uncomfortable.
Because like you're there so long, you've got to eat there. Right? You've been in the building for 8 hours. It's like you're probably starving to death by the end.
Didn't eat once. I was starved.
Yeah. Maybe that's part of it. You know, how much do you think you put people in there for a 3-hour basketball game? You're not gonna buy food.
No.
Fuck. You ate before you came. If you go to a wrestling show that's 8-9 hours long and they kill you in the building, you're gonna get hungry, man. You don't wanna fucking eat. And smuggle some granola bars in up your ass or something.
Yeah, and God then you damn take it. Those lengths of shows probably adds to concessions and booze, and you got so many people getting drunk because they're there for 6 to 8 hours. So,
it's fucking bored. This match, well, you know, it was a pretty good match, but so Rowan comes down and he's got the coat on. He looks, people are like, I think he looks buff. I'm like, he's fucking fat. He's out of shape. That's one thing. It's hilarious for me to say if you know me. Maybe like this fat motherfucker, but I'm not a pro wrestler either, you know. So you can be actually. I would argue that a lot of the best podcasters are fat. What's up, especially in the wrestling space? a stronghold for fatties, the wrestling community. but no less, Rowan looked fat here, and he's wearing like fucking Vans or something. Like, what in the fuck is going on here? And he comes down, he stands there, and then the ref bumps. Like, oh, that's cleverly timed. He slowly gets in, gives him a shitty choke slam, and he's just with him now, and that's just it.
Yeah,
it's fucking stupid, dude.
They're the soy boys.
Dude, they are fucking soy boys. Did you see? You didn't see on SmackDown.
Oh, Rowan the recycling comes out. Symbol with.
Yeah, his name is a recycling symbol.
It's fucking fantastic.
Come on, man! It's like so bad. It's good. It's like so dumb. It's fucking funny.
Yeah, it's as dumb as Luke Harper's eyes as his Titantron, and I'm so happy that it happened to the Vintner.
Speaking of which. Wasn't Rowan the one who again got hurt and again fucked over Harper?
I'll explain this. Yes, Rowan fucked up that push. But the reason why Harper's not there is because when Rowan got hurt, Harper decided to have elbow surgery, I think. And so he's just taking a little bit longer to get back.
Oh, okay, that's right.
Yeah. But yes, Rowan was the one that definitely did it. If Rowan didn't get hurt, Harper wouldn't have gotten surgery, so...
How weird is it that, dude, they have dudes like Bray Wyatt who hasn't... I don't know when... Again, another piece of information. We have the internet. We could look. But when was the last time you saw Bray Wyatt on WWE TV? Like,
last year? Crown Jewel?
Was he? Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
I think he was in that Rumble, wasn't he?
Oh, I'm sure.
No, I don't know. Was he at Crown Jewel? I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't think he was at Crown Jewel. Probably late last year or something, but either way, I was surprised he wasn't in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that.
There's a lot of people I was surprised, actually, you know, no fucking EC3, not that I care, but like you brought this guy up and you don't even put him in the Royal Rumble? Okay.
I don't know. I would rather not see Bray Wyatt if they don't have a new character for him.
Or if they're not, you know, I think you could maybe do it, but you'd have to establish it as something, which was like the main problem with that dude. You know, he should be away, and when he shows up and calls somebody out, it's like, oh, fuck, you know? But
he shouldn't be there week to week. He should be not so little as The Undertaker, But, you know, he's not always there. When he shows up, it should be a spooky big deal because he is a spooky character. And what happens to spooky things when you see them over and over again? They're no longer spooky. They become commonplace.
How enemies show up and villains show up in comic books and shit, right? The comic book is about Superman and the villains. Well, maybe not Superman's not a good example, but you know what I mean? Spider-Man, where the different villains come in randomly. Batman will be another one.
It's about the rogue gallery. It's not, it's about the villain, or it's about the babyface.
Yeah.
And it's a revolving rogue gallery of great villains. Yeah. That's how you do it. You don't just throw anybody in there, or you don't need to focus on the villain. Not every villain needs to be seen.
The biggest problem with that gimmick was just what we've always said the whole fucking time. It's not like, you know, they had nobody saying what it was, but he'd say all this shit, and then the shit never mattered. So
and nobody could understand the shit either.
Well, I think people could understand it, but if he comes out and says all this crazy shit about how he's a god and he's going to fuck you up and shit, and then he loses every single time, it's like, it doesn't work.
It obviously becomes that he's that guy from, you know, that guy you see in all the movies that believes he's God, but, you know, in the end, he's just retarded.
Do you know how fucking long this show is already?
this show here, I can tell you the exact length, 44 minutes, 54 seconds.
It's a long time. Keep moving. Lesnar and Balor, which I actually thought was the best match on the show.
I agree with you 100%. This was the best match. Most entertaining by a mile.
Woke everybody up in the crowd. Super questionable booking at the end. It's like Lesnar beats him.
Yeah.
And then just fucking beats him down. Like, that was that stupid. Necessary? Like, we're going to make sure that he's fully buried.
Yeah.
I don't want to use
I'm going to make sure you're never over. Fuck.
I do try not to use the B word. It's like, I'm like your grandmother trying not to say the N word. I try not to say the B word, but sometimes it slips out. You know,
I can go with that being, you know, a subside of being buried. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't bury him in the match. He did a good job of making Balor look like there's a slim chance that he could pull off a fluke victory.
The whole build-up was awful, though, with, like, Vince McMahon shitting on him every week on the show.
Well, I mean,
how are you getting that guy over like that?
I didn't watch that.
Oh, well, no. On the show, basically, it's like, oh, this guy's too fucking little. He can't, you know, he's not going to be able to fucking do anything against Brock Lesnar. And everybody's agreeing on it. They're like, yeah. And, like, you know, they call him the average man who does, or no, the ordinary man who does extraordinary things. First off, that's very long. Second off, the ordinary man does not have a 42-pack. Get the fuck out of here.
And the ordinary man does not have an alter ego of it that's a demon. So,
dude, it's just the way that they did it is so stupid. Like, an ordinary man who does extraordinary things. He's not an ordinary man.
No.
How are you going to make a wrestling star out of a guy that you call an ordinary man? He's not Spike Dudley or something. You know?
No, the fuck he's not, are we he's not about Matt about Stryker. You know what I mean? He's not just a fucking teacher. Because that's the definition of an ordinary man, my friend. Matt Stryker.
So yeah, Lesnar could have beat him. And, you know, we could have called it there. That would have been fine.
You could have even gone so far as Lesnar beat him and then helps him up and gives him the pat, you know what I mean? Because it's just like, this little guy kept up with me. You know, I can respect that, even though I'm a big galoof.
You could still be a fucking heel asshole, yeah, and do that. You could have, I mean, even if he picked him up and, like, clothesline him, didn't he not give him, like, 47 fucking F5s at the end of this match? Or was that Monday where he gave somebody 47 fucking F5s?
It might have been Monday. He did a bunch of Germans and one F5. But he could have just lifted him up, shook his hand, then pushed him back to the ground and walked away.
I seem to have a memory of him doing like fucking six to somebody recently. I don't know. Either way, dumb. Men's Rumble. I mean, by this point, I was just fucking done. I was out of it.
I fell asleep at the last part of the Rumble and woke up. Nia Jax was in the ring. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Talk about that. Nia Jax injured, allegedly. He worked on Tuesday. I don't know how injured he was.
Yeah.
He injured R-Truth and he had to be held back. He was so hot.
Can you imagine R-Truth was going to beat up The Rock's fucking cousin? I did.
I don't know.
Jerry Lawler was the one that said that he got really upset at her.
Signs a new contract and then like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to go and I'm going to say this shit on my podcast that like no one listens to. That's why they just signed him to a new contract. If he did that, I'd be pissed, man. I'd be pissed. Because have you heard anyone else really report it? Everyone I've heard said that it came from him.
Yeah, no, it's like the website I'm looking at right now. It's all Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's like you sign you to a contract, and then you're gonna go and like talk about shit and fuck you, man.
Yeah,
what a cunt.
I mean, it's Lawler though, right?
Yeah. We should get that sample of Gilbert. So every time we mention Lawler,
oh,
we're
have that. Yeah. Yeah.
Simple.
13-year-old little girl.
Yeah. But yeah, and this the men's rumble, I don't really have a lot about it. She fucking hurts R-Truth, comes in, and I hated it. And then fucking Randy Orton gave her the RKO, and I was like, I've never seen an RKO that I really gave a shit about. This is the but I loved watching them all fuck her up. It was so good, but
I did too.
It's stupid that they had her eliminate Mustafa Ali, and then he comes out on Tuesday, and he's going to be in the title match. You know, like,
yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah, you couldn't even.
And then
last
Joe
night
brings
Jax.
It up. Then they have Joe bring it up, like, you got thrown out by a fucking woman. Like, wow, this guy's shit. You know what I'm saying? It just like sets him up as shit.
Yeah, it does. It does. It does.
And he's really already does. Shit. Because he was good and he was booked decently, and then you heard it was like, oh, Vince is like, oh, he's you're at your best when you're selling. He said that on some podcast. Oh, Vince really thinks this, and then since then you've seen nothing but that. He's not gonna win shit.
No,
I predict that dude won't win a match until fucking ever. Oh, he's good selling. That's what he does. So he goes out and he just gets his ass kicked by everybody and loses. Awesome. That's gonna get you over.
Yeah. Well, you know who else was good at selling? Dolph Ziggler.
God damn it. His whole thing is bullshit, huh? The day before that, he's like, I'm on hiatus from WWE. He was like, he was trying to drum up, like, am I leaving? Am I whatever? You know, as he is fucking wants to do.
I don't ever listen to anything that Dolph Ziggler ever says.
Well, of course. And then he's just there. It's like, oh my God, this fucking guy. And people are like, well, if he goes here, or I don't care where he goes, dude. Like,
yourself. I really care where he goes. I hope he goes on the comedy circuit and never comes back.
Well, that's so funny, too, because like, the dude is good.
Yeah?
It's like they take this guy who's really good and tries really fucking hard and just made me not give a shit about him. It's amazing. It's like...
It is.
Such really good anti-booking.
He needs to go away for a year. Like, I've never wished anything ill on a guy, but I really would like to see Dolph Ziggler get hurt, go on a shelf for a while, so he can just come back as something different.
Jesus. I know what you mean. You don't really mean
like
that.
Just,
you
just,
don't mean
just
that.
A little hairline fracture or something, you know? Like, fuck.
Yeah. You know, so there's the match. These are predictable. You know, Rollins wins, of course.
As we said.
Yeah. I don't know. You got anything else on that show? I thought it was a pretty good show. It was just way too long. I didn't hate much of it. So actually pretty good by WWE standards.
Yeah. I mean, I think in the minority where I was a fan of not having the legends in the matches and having more NXT call-ups.
Oh God, I didn't even mention fucking, I forgot all about Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
Fucking terrible. Yeah. Terrible. No one gave a fuck about that gimmick ever.
No.
You'd be better off trying to do the fucking slap nuts thing or something. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
No, you're correct. That nobody cares about J-E-double-F, J-A-double-R-E-double-T. Nobody gives a fuck about him.
He tries to do it as if the crowd chanted that. The crowd never did that with him, did they? Find footage of me of where the crowd is doing a J-E-double-L. That's never happened.
He was always a heel.
He's a real life heel. He got a job there, by the way. We'll talk about that in the news, I guess. But that was Royal Rumble. Holy fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a show. Like, I will say, I enjoyed the show for what it was, but it was way too long.
Yeah. There you go. That took a lot longer than I anticipated. Let's keep moving. Let's get into the news of the week.
Oh, something's going wrong.
Oh, God.
This week in the news, everyone is leaving the WWE wave number 2. Over to you, Jim.
I'm Jim Vicious, and this is news to you. Fucking, this is a live show, man. You know, shit happens.
Yeah, my program would not open.
We do this shit live, motherfucker.
Live to tape.
Big news of the week. Yeah, I mean, they're saying Dean Ambrose is leaving. Hideo Itami definitely is leaving.
He's gone.
Yeah.
He's been granted his release. That shows you how much they care about Hideo Itami.
It's like,
Revival? Nope, you can't go. Itami? Yeah, sure, man. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. That's going to be a really... This is going to go down as far as... This is the... Just the shittiest turnout of any big signing to that company ever. It comes in, yeah. Kenta. Remember how huge it was?
Yeah.
When Triple H is like with him, shaking hands in Japan. Like, oh, fuck, we signed Kenta. And you're like, it's the kid, this guy's badass, man. The matches he had between like 2006, 2008 or 9 with like Daniel Bryan and shit. God damn. Yeah. So good. He comes in and it just never worked out for him. He got hurt at bad times. They never did anything with him. Like, I'm sure they thought he'd come in and be, you know, an NXT champion and all this shit, but it just never panned out.
No.
And he went to 205 Purgatory to die. So,
yeah, 205 die. They lost it with him because their hate too with CM Punk. They hated CM Punk so much they wouldn't let Hideo Itami do the movie he invented.
He did it sometimes.
I know this vividly.
Wait, didn't he kick somebody's fucking face off with it? Yes, he did. Whose face did he kick off with that thing in NXT?
Let me explain to you this. This is how it worked. The first time Hideo Itami ever did the GTS was at the NXT show the day before WrestleMania 31. That was the first time because it was not aired on TV. That's why he did it. And he didn't do it for like 6-7 months after that. There was a big span where he didn't do it. They let him do it once. He hurt a guy, I'm pretty sure. Isn't that how it worked?
I mean, he definitely hurt somebody.
Yeah, but that was the first time they let him do it. But like what I'm saying is they let him go almost like 9 months before they even let him do it.
Yeah. It just never worked out for him, man, and it's unfortunate because like I said, his run as Kenta 2006 and there 2008 is insane, man.
Yeah.
But he also overcompensated, you know, a lot for that too. He used to beat the fuck out of people, and obviously you can't do that there.
No. And you know what though, he really...
Oh, Kendrick. Here we go.
Is it Kendrick? Yes, he broke Kendrick's face.
Yeah, he broke his like fucking orbital and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
But no, yeah, Hideo Itami, it's the size too really didn't help him. You know, he's a very tiny guy.
Yeah. I don't know what he's got left. He's what, 36, 37? He's pretty fucking old.
And he's got two fucked shoulders.
Exactly. We'll see. He's going back to Noah, I assume. Noah has under new ownership, so I guess. We'll see him just as much now as we did on 205 Live, right?
Yeah, I've never seen him. Maybe we'll see more of him now in Noah. Fuck, you know, I'll gladly go out of my way to watch a Kenta main event.
I don't even think I have a real method to watch Noah shit.
I just scour the internet and like, download torrents. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't fucking blame you on that. I thought I had a fucking great tweet from somebody about him, but I guess I don't.
Yes,
anyway.
You don't.
This Dean Ambrose shit, I think, is a fucking work. I'm going to go with that until I see otherwise.
The fact that WWE came out with their you know, announcement of it really seems to be like it could be a work. But then again, could the WWE just be finally just becoming not teenagers with this stuff and pretending like they never existed? You know what I mean? Like, who knows?
No, dude, they didn't let the Revival out. I mean, I guess
they're not letting Dean Ambrose out. Dean Ambrose's contract's up in April, is the whole deal.
Yeah.
But either way, it's if it's real, who cares? Because it's Dean Ambrose. I really could care either way. If he does leave the WWE, I would be interested in seeing.
I'm not a big fan of the dude.
I would be okay with seeing how he progresses on an indie scene now once leaving the WWE. But as of right now, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. We'll see. I think it's a work. What are you trying to say, that he grabbed a mic on Raw and was going to do something and then they sent Jax out? Is that, I don't know. I don't see that.
To me, that, like, even if like that could have just probably just scripted, you know what I mean? It's like, say something until the music hits, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it probably is. I mean, I know the guy, you know, we know he has integrity. Which, you know, not a lot of these dudes actually have. But,
well, like, he said years ago that he wasn't going to stay in the WWE for too long. He doesn't like to stay anywhere for too long.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to do much after this, dude. People think he's going to go here or there. I mean, I don't think he's going to. I think he said at one point, there's a quote from him on a podcast. He claimed after leaving WWE, he'd wrestle one death match because they pay well and then disappear into the mountains. He's a weird fucking guy, dude. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, he just kind of disappeared. You know, he's probably made a fat amount of money. He's probably good.
Well, I mean, the contract that he was like, the reported contract that he was offered to stay was $1 million downside.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah.
For 5 fucking years.
For 5 years. Well, that's $1 million a year, though. Right? It's not $1 million over 5 years.
No, I know, but still. 5 more years of that shit, dude.
I wouldn't. Yeah, no, because that's what they're trying to sign everybody to now, to lock them up from AEW.
Right. That's fucking. And, too, like, that guy was one of the hardest working motherfuckers there. There was a good stretch of time where he was that fucking house show warrior. He wrestled every show for, like, ever, man.
And then he got the title and became boring as fuck.
Yeah, they, and the problem now, the writing's just bad. This whole heel turn thing, like, the writing's been so awful, which is weird considering how good, you know, the Daniel Bryan heel thing is going.
You're right, you know, because the Daniel Bryan story, to me, is great.
Yeah. It's actually a good heel. Like, they're not very good at, well, they're terrible at faces, but they're not good at heels either. The Bryan thing is, like, impressive for them, but a lot of it might just be him.
I think a lot of it is Daniel Bryan, but even
a lot of
the
it could
title,
be SmackDown too.
Yeah, you're right.
Aren't you led to believe, whether it's true or not, that there's more freedom on SmackDown?
It seems that way. I would say so, because you probably don't have Vince there. You know what I mean? Personally,
well, he's definitely there. I think
every week,
I'm pretty sure.
Maybe
he's just tired by then.
Maybe he naps most of the time in Gorilla at that point in time.
Yeah. I mean, what's some of the other big stories this week?
I think that's basically it for big stories, because, I mean, Dave Meltzer broke his hand, so he's not really writing much. And where does all the big stories come from? Dave Meltzer.
Dude. That's all these wrestling sites. There's people who make a living, and it's fucking gross at that.
It is, isn't it?
That make a living, and all they do is just report things that he says on his shows.
Every Thursday, when the Observer breaks, news sites fill up with shit.
Yeah. Oh, you said this. Okay. Why do you fucking do something, you bitch?
Yeah. Get yourself a contact, motherfucker.
What else we got, man? I'm trying to see what else.
The highly touted Botch Club show on the network is not getting any more new episodes.
Oh yeah.
So this Matthew won deals. That battle.
There you go, man. Their deals are up this fall, August, September.
Yeah.
So, you think they're going to leave, go AEW? I can see that happening.
I can see it happening, but I can also see Doc Gallows just doing nothing else. He just looks like
it's
a guy.
Calling
that,
it a day?
Yeah, I don't know. He just looks like a guy who would just, like, you know, go home. He's just so, I don't know, he looks so old. How old is he?
He's always looked old, man. You ever heard that story he told?
I don't know.
He tells his story about, who the fuck was it? Some old-time wrestler, Terry Funk, maybe? Who Terry thought that, like, they used to work together. He thought it was an old guy. You know? Back when he worked, like, Terry Funk was like, you know, fuck guys like us, you know? Yeah.
That's why he's got the grizzled old vet song.
Yeah, dude, he's fucking looked old forever.
He's only 35 years old, actually, so I can't see him going away anytime soon. I thought he was a lot older than that.
People are like, you know, New Japan wants him back and shit, but I don't see Carl Anderson. If you follow Carl Anderson on social media, dude, this dude's not going back to Japan. That's not happening.
I think his family means too much of him.
Yeah, I mean, you see the shit that he posts on social media. It's like, this guy is super into the whole family thing.
Yeah. And he's got a hot Asian wife, so why does he need to go back to Japan?
This guy doesn't appreciate the fantastic video games that are available this current time. He spends his time rearing children instead.
Rearing them.
Unless they have like a super like fly in for big shows kind of thing, but that guy is not doing tours of Japan anymore. I guarantee you that.
I don't think so.
Speaking of Japan, the Sadie, who's this bitch? Sadie Gibbs. You familiar with this whole thing with Will Ospreay?
Oh yeah.
I like to talk about things that I like to defend fucking free speech and logic in the wrestling world, like how we had to defend that Adam asshole, you know, because people wanted to run him out of town, burn him at a stake for wanting to see a picture of some chick's tits of legal age, mind you. Anyway, he tweets out that, you know, he told two women, you know, how to conduct themselves over there. Or do I have the tweet here? I'm trying to see here.
Basically, he told him there's no walk in the park. You gotta really work hard. It's going to be different. It's going to be hard. It's just going to be a hard road, and I don't think you're ready for it, and you shouldn't go.
Or just take it seriously. It's a job. It's not a vacation.
No. He isn't it there that he said don't go, that you shouldn't go? Isn't that part of what he says?
I don't know.
Isn't that like, you got the tweet?
I don't have the tweet. Oh. No, it's not showing it on this fucking stupid-ass site that I'm on.
Oh.
Well, who is this? What is the wrestling site?
I'm pretty sure he said that you're not ready. Like,
basically. Right? But if you do go, you know, fucking do it right and all this shit. Anyway, he's like, I told these girls, gave them some advice, and I'm happy to report that the other girl, whatever, has done a great job. And everyone's like, oh, shit, you're fucking throwing shade at this girl. Turns out this girl was kicked out of a mall for, like, being drunk and doing backflips and causing a fucking scene and shit. So fuck you, man.
Well, like, this is the way I look at it. The way I see it is Will Ospreay just being a cunt. That's all he's doing. He's just being a piece of shit. Really. There's no... You can't defend Will Ospreay in the slightest. He's just being an asshole, right? That's it.
I'm pretty sure I was. I know.
I'm disagreeing with you because it's just, to me, Will Ospreay comes off as the guy who's just entitled. Everybody likes my wrestling, so you need to listen to my opinion. You need to take me as gold.
I mean, granted, the kid's only 25 and shit, and he's only wrestling.
That's why he shouldn't be doing it, because he's 25 years old. Guess what? His brain stopped growing this year. His brain stopped growing.
Is that a thing?
Or... Yeah, 25 years old. That's when your brain stops developing. That's when you actually have fully functioning brain matter. That's where all your synapses are routed. You actually have very minimal decision-making abilities until you're 25. That's why people under 25 make a lot of rash decisions. Because the brain
was a fucking awesomely deep dive from fucking Tyler Fudge. An unexpected, an eloquent deep dive. And fucking
this is exactly what it is. And on top of all that, you're going to release that when her father, her grandfather died and she had to go home. You're going to be a cunt then? Come on.
I don't know if he was like blaming that she went home.
He releases it. He tweets it after her grandfather dies and she has to leave Japan to go home.
Think he knew.
Of course he knew their email addresses to tell him to not go. He knew this. He's not an idiot, you know what I mean? He's just a cunt.
I did see some of her work though from Stardom this week, and she does a really crazy fucking flipping thing to the outside, so there's but yeah, I don't know, either way, you're probably right.
me and Jim butt heads for the first time in 2 years.
No.
No, we're not even butt heads. Just
he is a cunt, because, I mean, I understand. Like, yeah, him, a 25-year-old kid who's worked in Japan for, what, like a year and a half, 2 years, acting as a gatekeeper for Japanese wrestling, you know, for British people wrestling over there. I get that. But at the other point, it's like, if you were getting kicked out of a mall because you're drunk and backflipping, like when you're over there supposed to be working, getting a shot at stardom, like, kind of go fuck yourself, dude.
It's a shitty thing to do, but she's also a young person in Japan with no, you know what I mean? It's like, at what point in time do you not let people just have fun and, you know what I mean? She's in a mall backflipping. It's not like she's pissing all over the mall. You know
This is Japan, dude. I mean, like,
sure, you know. Sure, but like, I mean, she got kicked out of a mall. Whoop de fucking do.
Yeah, okay.
That's just the way I look at it.
Matt Jackson from SJW Wrestling said, for the record, from what we've seen, we think you're awesome. you see the thing? I kind of been posting little blog things in the group, but I'm worrying that AEW might just be end up being this like more PC than WWE thing.
Well, they're
in the end.
I mean, you got the Young Bucks who are devout Christians.
They are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, they don't even curse, right?
No. Nope. Well, they'll do it every now and then for like a Being the Elite thing, a minor curse like ass. But like, other than that, yeah, they're devout Christians, man. You're going to have a certain aspect. They're not going to push those envelopes, I don't think.
But they also had Dick Druids, and that was like their idea, I think. So maybe not. Because like the Dick Druids thing is probably not very fucking. I don't know. Maybe I'm safe. Maybe I'm overreacting. What else we got, man? Ian Riccaboni signs a new deal.
That's exactly where I was going.
Oh, there you go. Which is good. He's good. All good. Good chaps.
Yeah. It's and you think about it, too. Ian Riccaboni, I bet you any money in the world AEW is looking at him because he did the AEW or the All Elite show or All In show.
Yeah. Whatever. Ring of Honor's like, yeah, can we fuck you, we're keeping him.
Yeah, we're keeping the best North American announcer outside of Mauro Ranallo right now in America.
I guess, yeah. Well, no, I like Callis more than him.
Really?
I do. Yeah, I would say so.
Okay, fair enough.
Maybe.
I'm in the minority where I'd rather not see Callis in New Japan.
I'm not even there. He's great on Impact.
I don't watch Impact.
Yeah.
I find it hard to look at him with his stupid sunglasses on.
Yeah, fair enough. Ember Moon undergoing elbow surgery and will be gone for quite some time.
She
hurt herself in that match. You can see where it happens online. Only Twitter.
This is my problem with Ember Moon, and I discovered it in Royal Rumble. She needs to cut her goddamn hair. You know what I mean? Spots got fucked up because they were holding her hair instead of her arms.
Oh, like, I didn't really notice.
They were doing like an Irish whip spot, and they go to grab her arm to Irish whip her, and her hair is so long that it's where she's grabbing her arm, her wrist.
Well, you do that. WWE loves that shit, dude.
I know.
They always have women wrestle with their hair flying all over the place, and, you know, I get it, but at the same point, it's like fucking silliness. She's great. I just don't know what she is, and they seem pretty decided on not, you know, pushing her, not making her, you know, a top woman star. So that's on them. I think she's great in the ring.
You know, I think
she's hot as fuck.
I agree.
What else we have this week? Jeff Jarrett and Shane Helms return to WWE in backstage roles. Another one of these questionable decisions, dude, 2 weeks in a row. I don't get it, man.
You know, I think it's mainly them just trying to lock up anybody that could do anything for anybody else.
Exactly. It's lock up anybody who could do anything for anybody else. Holy shit. Holy shit. That's exactly it.
Yeah, dude. Of course it is. Of course.
Nothing more to add than that. Oh, Garth, that was a haiku. Jesus. They have the Baba Memorial shows coming up. They've announced some shit for that.
Yes, amalgamation of a bunch of different... they got Tanahashi taking on Mini Tanahashi from All Japan.
Oh, is that the deal?
It's Tanahashi and Yoshitatsu against whoever whatever the name is for that guy that looks just like Tanahashi. and works just like him, but he's just a junior.
Miyahara and yes, Sekimoto?
Miyahara. Yeah.
Mm. I'm not familiar with him. Where does he wrestle?
All Japan, I think.
Oh, okay. That company's completely lost to me, right? They're
All Japan, fucking, yeah.
Where the fuck are you guys? Which, I know Jared was talking about the actual rank of where they are as far as, like, the business they do.
All Japan's
and ones that I thought would be higher actually aren't, you know?
Yeah, because Noah's down. Like, Noah's in a slump.
Yeah.
And I believe it's Dragon Gate and All Japan there on top right now.
I have no idea. Maybe. But I'm saying we're way more familiar with Dragon Gate and Noah than, like, I have no idea what's happening in All Japan.
Haven't watched All Japan since... I haven't watched any match from All Japan since the mid-90s when Kobashi and Misawa left and went to Noah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Once Kobashi and Misawa went to Noah, All Japan disappeared in my mind.
They do like a big fucking tournaments. They do all kinds of shit too, but I don't know where to find it. And
they got their own streaming service, and apparently it's worse than New Japan World.
I never have problems with the New Japan World.
To me, I don't have problems with the player. But finding stuff on New Japan World could be a lot easier.
Well, yeah, they still haven't, you know, they still need to, like, really have an American office with Americans deciding things. Not even Americans, North Americans, or even British people. Just
anybody
somebody who
speaks
English.
English.
Yeah. fuck the geographical shit. Dude, Mil Máscaras and Dos Caras are going to be on this fucking
show.
What
a shame.
How old are these two guys?
Mil Máscaras is in the 70s, I'm pretty sure.
What? Cool. We need to look that up. Up Mil, I'll look up Dos Caras.
Okay, so I will say, I was listening to Dave Meltzer talk about it this morning. Dave Meltzer says that officially they say he's like 69, but he said he met a guy that used to train at Mil Máscaras, and apparently that's not his real age.
I love that he has a fake age. That adds to fucking the mystique of Mil Máscaras. That's dope. Dos Caras is 76 years old.
76 years old.
Yeah, I'm looking at since 76, dude.
Yeah. So, yeah.
What the fuck is that going to be?
Mil Máscaras debuted 53 years ago.
Holy shit. But that is, too. I mean, him and Dos Caras, those are like, I mean... That was like two guys who, well, Mil would definitely be on the Lucha Libre fucking Mount Rushmore. I don't know about Dos Caras. Probably not Dos Caras.
You know what? I'd take Dos Caras off just because he helped and aided in giving birth to Alberto Del Rio. So,
yeah. I mean, you got to look at it be like El Santo, Mil Máscaras, Blue Demon. And...
I think, yeah, you'd have to have a Blue Demon in it. I don't know.
Maybe Dos Caras. Anyway, yeah, there's a lot of matches. I'm just kind of looking here.
No. I was gonna say Dr. Wagner Jr., but no.
Dude, my boy, one of my favorites, Jinsei Shinzaki in the fucking house, dude. I like that guy.
Yeah. So look good. Then.
Oh, yeah. And Shun Skywalker. That guy's good too. Onita. There's all kinds of motherfuckers on this show, dude. Are these available? Like, I don't think we've ever watched these, man.
This one, I was trying to figure it out, and there's no information on how to watch it.
Yet. I hope that it's going to fucking find something. It's February 19th, so it's not that far away.
No.
There's a lot of stuff on here I'd like to actually check out.
No, me too. I'm really hoping that if in any way, shape, or form that show is recorded for any reason, I want to see it.
Yeah, definitely, dude. They got a fucking... Onita's going to be in a like multi-man street fight tornado bunkhouse deathmatch. What? Sounds awesome, dude.
Madness. Sounds absolute fucking awesome. Madness.
It's an 8-man, dude. It's 2 4-man teams in a street fight tornado bunkhouse death match. What the fuck? That's going to be awesome. Sorry, I got really excited about that.
No, man. You got good reason to be excited.
I'm not going to get into the article, but I do want to suggest an article to folks if you're a fan of the reading. On Forbes, there's an article about WWE, AEW, and the rampant tampering in pro wrestling. Written by Alfred Kanawa. Check that out. Pretty awesome. Interesting read about how things that would definitely be illegal in basically every other sport is totally allowed in wrestling for some reason.
I want you to send that to me. I'd like to read that. That's going to be some light reading tonight, I think.
It's a pretty good fucking article about that. How, like, you know, they go back and forth, like, the shit that it kind of breaks down to how what the Young Bucks did with the Revival, saying, you know, we could have a match. Like, that would totally be against the rules in every other sport.
Yeah, that's definitely a little bit of tampering right there.
But wrestling kind of gets this different thing. SmackDown doesn't get a post-Rumble ratings boost, which maybe, hopefully, they get the message that their shit's too long.
It's too much. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Completely but agree. But it's a shame that not all those people got to see Daniel Bryan's new belt, because that was fantastic.
Dude, I love it, man. I thought it was awesome. We've heard about it for a while.
Daisy to Cal? Fuck, man. Like, I haven't seen much in WWE, but I watched that promo. I had to see that.
It's his promo every week. Kills it every fucking week on that shit.
He does.
But yeah, I don't know. That's all I've got from the news, really.
Yeah, no, I got nothing else for the news either. Most of the week was dominated by people talking about Dean Ambrose.
Yeah. We talk about Matt Sydal leaving Impact.
Oh, did he leave?
Yeah. Sounds like it.
I had no idea. I know he's injured.
Yeah. He'll probably show up somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah, I can see it. I don't know. I feel like Matt Sydal's a hard guy to deal with.
Mm. Do you have any like basis for that? Or?
Yeah, I watched what was it called? Developmentally Speaking, I think.
Hmm.
Or it's a show that Curt Hawkins used to do, and it was just people talking about developmental in WWE, and he had Matt Sydal and Rob Naylor on, and Rob Naylor's can be annoying and very talkative, right? Because he's aspy as fuck, right?
I don't know anything about that dude other than, like, he tweets good shit.
He's got a great mind for wrestling, but when he's in front of a camera and talking about something, he tries to be in control and be the forefront of the voice. When you've got a guy like Matt Sydal there, Matt Sydal is the popular one. You want to give some time to Matt Sydal. Rob Naylor would basically take every question and would answer it himself. And but at the same,
is he a wrestler too that I just don't know about? Or
no,
what?
No. He used to work behind the scenes with Dusty in NXT.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I just know him as like a dude who tweets out like sweet wrestling gifs. That's all I knew about him.
But Matt Sydal was just giving him the gears, like fucking being a dick to him the whole fucking time. But at the same time, it's like, well, you know, you deserved it. You're being a fucking whatever.
A cunt.
Well, like, Rob Naylor wasn't doing it in a bad way either. It's just like he's really excited and he knows the answer, so he's just saying it. He's like Dave Meltzer in a way. Aspie's
fun. Oh, yeah, what is it with people, wrestling people that are just that super aspy?
I think it just draws them.
There you go. Let's move on from this shit. Get into some Mark Tank after these messages.
So remember the game store for all your video game needs.
Cut! How was that, Stevie?
You know, to tell you the truth, Sam, it really stunk. Randy, come here. Bring my glasses. Now listen, I got the script in front of me here. And first of all, you guys don't mention in here that you support all four video game systems. You don't say anything about buy, sell, or trade. And you don't even mention that you get $3 off with this commercial. I mean, you guys even play video games? God.
Can't get enough.
A guy that pays his last $20 on crack cocaine. A mark is a guy that believes that OJ did do it. And a mark is each and every one of you son of a fucking bitch.
A mark is every one of these sorry sons of fucking bitches. Who was that?
The Stevie Richards. Commercial?
Stevie Richards.
Yeah, Stevie Richards in a Philadelphia video game company in like the early 90s.
Is he in the blue BWO gear?
Yes, and it's a horrible looking commercial.
I couldn't tell who it was. I was like, what the fuck? That is great. Mark Tankwer, I read Mark's comments off social media as they are typed. This one, you know, Royal Rumble, you're bound to get some good shit. Kind of got a mixed bag this week, so. Mike Allen, he says, Balor should have wore his face paint. His best chance was forcing Lesnar to drink paint.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know what that means.
I think he was trying to insinuate the paint that Balor would put on his body normally, he should make it. Lesnar drink it, die, pin him, and become champion.
Yeah. So, about the Nia Jax stuff here. Julianne Waller says, she had her chance. She lost. She should be suspended, and Truth should get a reward for missing out. He did get a reward, actually.
Yeah. Did he kind of win the U.S. title?
He beat both the contenders and former champions within the space of a minute. He beat Nakamura and he beat Rusev both in a row in no time. So thank you, fuck you, bye.
But he didn't win the title?
He did win the title, yeah. He's the U.S. champion.
Is he really?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, dude. And some kid on Twitter was like trying to defend it, you know? He's like, aren't you supposed to over guy on SmackDown?
Shush!
The fuck? That's the shit I deal with on the Twitter, man. The Twitter account for Suplex City Limits is just like, fuck me sometimes. That's why everyone who's fuck, if you're cool, you gotta follow on there so we can bullshit with good people and I don't lose my faith in humanity. Let's see. Salmon Khan? Salmon Khan. Says, Nia has some guts. The second woman since China to be in a men's Royal Rumble match, even though she didn't stand a chance, that says something, that women's wrestling come a long way since China's time in the Attitude Era. There's been at least, I can think of three other women who've been in the men's Royal Rumble.
Beth Phoenix.
Yeah, Karma.
Awesome Kong, yeah, Karma.
Yeah. So, I just thought, like, this guy was dumb. That was my point. He's really a mark as much as he's just. That could be a fucking show too on here, right? A segment is like people who don't know what the fuck they're talking about, but it would be like a 6-hour show every week.
Oh man, Jesus Christ! You'd have to filter them through.
Yeah, Raj Pendharkar says worst decision ever by WWE. Becky had her chance earlier. She can't just enter the match at 28. Worst booking by WWE.
There you go.
There is an undercurrent of people. You would think, like, everybody's going to like this Becky thing, right? No.
Well, no.
There are people who hate this thing.
You'll never get everybody to agree on something. That's just not going to
okay,
happen.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck is your deal if you hate this whole thing? I don't get it.
Yeah,
like,
no, I agree with you there. There's nothing
especially
not
in a company
like
that just, you know, it's probably one of those people that has, like, a weird fetish with somebody, you know, like, their name is something Bliss fan, and their pictures are all Alexa. They just tweet pictures of Alexa Bliss all day, and it's like people like that should be probably be fucking checked out.
I agree. I agree. Those people need some guidance in their life for sure.
Navigating wrestling Twitter every fucking day for this show, I see a lot of people who probably should be looked at, dude. Honestly, probably fucking look at them.
I wonder whatever happened to Dolph Ziggler's lady.
I still check in on her shit. She hasn't been tweeting.
Oh, she could be dead.
She has like 10 different Twitters. Like every 5 months, she starts a new Twitter. Keep fucking government off her trail. Vanita Thakur. So this is just stupid. She don't deserve it. Charlotte did after begin the Rumble for so long, and she just takes someone else's spot. WWE sucks. Wait, Charlotte did after begin the Rumble for so long, and she just takes someone else's spot. WWE sucks.
Oh shit! What is that? Sorry.
Was it a countdown?
That was me trying to say
piss in your face. God damn, yeah. I like the shows where halfway through you remember that we have a sound where you're like, oh yeah, this. There you go. Sharon Alton, dude, I know Lana is pissed in real life, though. She got to come out with Rusev and had her little moment of TV time, but she really hasn't even had much time to develop a feel to her character, kind of like how they leave Dana on the back burner. This person's a fucking Alana and Dana Brooke stan.
He likes them blonde.
Well, that would that would appear to be the case, wouldn't it?
You'd think so.
These people who hate Becky Lynch, man, yeah. This is terrible. Becky Lynch. Oh, Amanda Miller. This is terrible. Becky Lynch isn't that great, and I don't understand why all these fickle fans love her. She's horrible on the mic and not that great in the ring. Okay, maybe, but that's it. Plus, this whole the man thing is BS. She not a man, and they were close as good as a male wrestler.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This is a woman saying this?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right.
Wow. This is why you guys can't have nice things, women.
Fickle.
Fickle, yeah. She's stealing, even stealing words from Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. John Stone. I don't like Becky. She had no business in the Rumble. She lost her match, and she is a huge crybaby. That was Flair's match to win.
Yeah, cool.
This guy is ready for this three-way, man. A three-way is going to be bad. They're going to force it, even though it doesn't make sense, and no one wants it. This one's great. I don't know what these characters look Japanese, Chinese. They look Asian. I don't know. Ronda is a combination of Hulk Hogan and Goldberg and John Cena. And their common point is that their performance is garbage. Sasha lead this match alone. Ronda, please retired after WrestleMania. That's a good one. That almost should have been the winner. That was so good. Halfway through, I'm like, this is fucking good.
Yeah, but like, if that was the winner, then I feel bad if I pressed the everyone be dumber because, well, she makes sense.
I don't really. I always plan to like go back and pick them through and like get them ready, and then I just don't. And then because I play Ark all fucking week. Have you played the game Ark? Oh my God.
No.
It's like a survival game. You start off basically as like a naked caveman, and you. As you level up, you unlock, you know, the ability to make new shit, and you build a spear, and then you. But there's dinosaurs and shit everywhere. It's fucking awesome. Yeah.
Oh, anyway. Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
I've never played it. No.
Yeah, it's insane. You start off as nothing, and you just keep getting shit, and like you find resources and making shit, and it's like, oh, you can make this now, and it's like, fuck, just super addictive. And you fight dinosaurs and crazy big fucking creatures and shit. It's, dude, it's addictive as fuck. Anyway, that's why I don't fucking put as much into this as I should.
That's okay. Only Terry Ansel likes it anyways.
Yeah. Mark Dang, brought to you by Terry Ansel.
Brought to you by Terry Ansel's. Oh, what's the word? I can't even think about it. Two stoned.
Ajay Wakala. I think no one can give 5-star matches without John Cena.
No one in the world?
I think no one can give 5-star matches without John Cena.
Man, that's fair enough. See, honestly, that person's never seen a match outside of WWE, ever.
Tammy Holmes, she has her comments on the Bryan and AJ match. She said, that match sucked. Daniel Bryan is a sloppy wrestler. I wish AJ would have busted him in the nose.
He might have busted him in the eye, though, by looking at that black eye he was sporting on SmackDown.
Yeah, no shit. Daniel Bryan is a sloppy wrestler. Let that sink in, kids.
Oh,
fuck me.
That's sensitive.
It's fucking terrible. All the ones of me are fucking coming up today.
Yep.
This one is dude, I have so many of them. There's this one guy, I remember reading it, I don't read it anymore, but he posts it all the time about people he likes, and he just comes up a lot on the Facebook. But Mohad Sudan Glib, he says, if Nia has a million fans, I am one of them. If Nia has 10 fans, I am one of them. If Nia has only one fan, then it is me. If Nia has no fans, that means I am no longer on this earth. If the world is against Nia, then I am against the world. I've seen that about Roman Reigns. I've seen that exact same thing about other wrestlers, too. What the fuck? Is my point.
Yeah, no, that's just weird. That is taking things to just a weird level.
Yeah. This one, I don't know if it's Mark Tank necessarily, but it did make me laugh. Lance Hardwell says, WTF was that? What was the big surprise that Nia is trans? Bruh, fuck men. I was waiting for CM Punk's music hits.
Hell yeah.
So good. Fuck. Let's unpack it.
No, you know what? Oh, I don't have that anymore. I used to have an applause, and I was going to play that because that deserved an applause because that was great.
Yeah. WTF was that? What was the big surprise that Nia is trans? Bruh, fuck, man. I was waiting for CM Punk's music hits. That's so good. So good.
That was
good. But this week's Mark Tank winner, and it is a good one. Faisal Ahmed. You know you're good when there's an Ahmed in there. He says, I support Brock Lesnar. He is my favorite superstar. I live Bangladesh. All the best, Brock Lesnar.
Jesus. Brock Lesnar. Yeah. Brock Lesnar. All the best, Brock Lesnar. Yeah. He doesn't even know his name. How is he that big of a fan?
I support Brock Lesnar. He is my favorite superstar. I live Bangladesh. All the best, Brock Lesnar. God damn it. I love it.
Was that the last one?
Yeah, that's the winner, yeah.
Oh.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
That was a really good Mark Tank this week.
Yeah.
Tremendous Mark Tank. This show is long as fuck.
Time update, 1 hour and 35 minutes.
Not that bad. Not that bad. Moving in from here, what's going down the Federation style, man?
The Federation is King of the Ring 96. It's up on Patreon now. I just haven't tweeted it out because I've been really busy this week. And the episode was supposed to be up today, and I totally forgot. So it'll be up tomorrow morning.
In your defense, you've had a fucking insane week.
I have had an insane week, so.
Yeah. You know what's coming on pay-per-view, Tay-Two. I'm not going to talk about it.
Greater Bash 2004.
Oh, my God. It's always something, dude. Right? Yeah. It's like, I've got something, and then, or Jared gets sick, or like, it's always something, dude. It's coming, we're getting there. You know, fuck, what do you want, man? You don't pay for this. And to the ones who do pay for this, I'm sorry, guys. You know how it is. But yeah, that's coming up sometime soon. Not even, I've went from like, we're recording it this weekend to like, at this point, I'm like, it's fucking coming sometime.
It'll come one of these days.
Yeah. When it does, you should subscribe to the channel, because when it does, you'll see it and you'll be like, fuck, it finally happened. So that'll be that. But yeah, so best of the rest. What else you got this week? I could talk about that fucking Ultimate Bar Brawl show if you like.
Go for it. Give me a brief rundown, because I don't feel that show deserves an in-depth rundown.
All right, so then he shoots him off the bar, and then he grabs a beer, and no. Ultimate Bar Brawl was supposed to start at 9 o'clock local time. It started at 9:30. The 9 to 9:30 half hour was just nonsense, really. So the commentary is some guy who I imagine is local to the area, who's like a news guy who knows about wrestling. And guess who the other commentator is, dude? You know it is, man.
You got so excited. You sound like you were fucking Down syndrome, Jim.
You know it. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, dude. Fuck. It's fucking Kevin. And dude, Kevin Gill was the better commentator on this show. I swear to you. He knew Casanova's fucking two signature moves, and I was like, that's it. He knows the text message breakup.
Yeah.
And you know, like, yeah, that's already better than fucking
AAA.
Triple A. Yeah. So I give props, dude. I thought Kevin Gill did a pretty fucking good job at this, actually.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah. At least he redeemed himself a little bit.
I never had a beef with that, dude. I just, like, you know, when he quit Conan show over that shit, it's like, dude, you got to be able to look at that and realize and say, yes, this was dog shit. That's it. Sorry. End the story. But, yep. You know, a nice little bit of a redemption. But
everybody loves a good redemption short story, man. Everybody.
Yeah. You can't, you know, like, I play a lot of rock shows and shit. You start them a half hour late. That's what you do. But you don't do that when your show's on pay-per-view, dude. It was like they were still setting up. They don't even have a ring, so I don't know what the fuck they're setting up. A band was setting up for later and shit. It was very weird. But luckily, MJF came up to commentary and, like, saved the day for 5 minutes. Just crushed it, dude. That guy is really fucking good. Kid's character work, like, he's going to be a giant star in AEW. Well, he was a hell of a pickup.
I do like MJF. I like his character work.
The shit he does on Being the Elite is fantastic. You know, he's like super nice guy, and Cody loves him. Cody's like, he's Cody's best friend, but when Cody walks away, he's just like, I'll fucking kill you. He hates everybody. Yeah. But I like that also Adam Page likes him. He's like, that guy's the biggest dick I've ever met. I like him. Or whatever, he's cool, or whatever the deal is, you know? Good shit. Anyway, the main opening match. Effie, you familiar with this guy?
Who?
His name is Effie.
Oh, that's the guy in the match with Casanova Valentine, Ethan Page, and Matt Cross, right?
Right, right.
I'm not familiar with him.
He goes over in this match. He was wearing, like, women's fishnets under his trunks, so he's kind of a gay character. His finish is, and I shit you not, a mandible claw that has a condom over his fingers. And he fucking, he tapped out Casanova Valentine with a condom-covered mandible claw.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's pretty good. But yeah, I love Casanova Valentine, man. Like, I don't know. I feel like a proud father with him. We have nothing to do with it, but I'm so happy when I see him, like, succeeding.
Yeah.
You know? It's fucking awesome.
It's like when me and Travis were watching Botchamania and Casanova Valentine opened up. And I was like, Travis, that's Casanova Valentine.
It's pop hard as shit. Like when I saw Mikey G on Raw, I was just like, I popped. That was the biggest pop I've ever had watching Raw in the history of Raw. But yeah, like Casanova Valentine. Let's die, motherfuckers. I love it. I love the let's die thing. That's fucking great. He's got the shit together.
Yeah, he's a good promo, man. That's one thing he's really got going for. He's a great promo.
Yeah. M-Dog is just like, I think he's like, what the fuck, dude? What's going on? What am I doing? What have I got myself into? But he really tried. I got to really give props to M-Dog. He was like up on the bar doing shit, diving off the bar. Like he was bound and determined to fucking get the crowd into it and to perform and to entertain people. Like I tons of props. That guy is so good. He needs to be. Is he going to end up in AEW? I'm sure he will, right?
I don't know. Like,
he's fucking great, man.
See, the thing about Matt Cross, though, is that he's open about how he loves traveling the world and doing this in different countries all over the world. I don't know. Would he like the lifestyle of being in AEW and just working in the States? I don't know.
I love that guy's fucking work, man. He's like one of the most underrated guys, you know, as far as like. Mainstream wrestling fans have no idea who he is, and he's so fucking tremendous.
Yeah, whether you want to call him fucking Matt Cross or whatever his name is in fucking Lucha Underground, it slips my mind, or M-Dog 20. Fuck.
Yeah. Cross was first eliminated. Casanova pinned him. I think he was just like, I'm getting out of here before, like, you know, Casanova starts bleeding all over the place and shit, because of course he did. Of course he did. The floor of this place was disgusting, dude. If you fell to the floor, you got up, you were covered in fucking shit. Like, this gross floor, I bet, had never, ever been swept or mopped or anything. I swear to God. You look like a fucking chimney sweep after you fall on the fucking floor. But yeah, Effie wins that match. You know, I was like, you go in there and it's like, especially in a four-way, dude. You imagine trying to work a four-way in a bar with nothing?
I'm like, sure it's difficult as all hell.
You could see, you know, it was like, there's stuff that's like, what the fuck are we going to do with this? What are we supposed to come up with? And over the course of the night, there were some pretty creative spots. ODB Penelope Ford was also on the show. There's only four matches on this show. So it was over in like, hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours. Wow. And it's great too because there's tons of people hanging out. Like Brian Pillman Jr. is just like getting drunk randomly in the crowd and shit on this show. He's like sitting at the bar. They do a spot with him here where he gets hit in the nuts sitting at the fucking on the couch next to the area there. But yeah, it was good. They just basically slapped each other in the tits and took shots and drank like chugged beers and shit. Pretty good shit. ODB toward the end of the match, he goes up to the bar to get another drink, taps the guy in the shoulder, turns around. It's Joey Janela. He does a fucking liquor mist in the face, which allows Penelope Ford to win off distraction. Pretty fucking awesome.
It's weird how, like, because they were a couple, right? And then they broke up. And now they're still doing this.
They're not a couple anymore?
As far as I know, no.
Hmm. Damn.
That's gotta be hard, eh?
Yeah, no shit. Because that chick is, like, unbelievable. Oh, he should just be happy that he got to bang that chick
exactly,
for a while.
Exactly. Yeah. Joey Janela, of all people, should just be grateful that his dick was graced by that velveteen lane or inlay that she's got going on there.
Yeah, very good. But yeah, just a lot of fun shit in this, too. You know, like, ODB fucking gets everybody to take a shot, even the ref. You know, like, that shit's... There was entertaining shit in there. Like, whoever put it all together and came up with the idea was pretty good. Eli Everfly and Delilah Doom, which I guess is his shoot girlfriend, took on Priscilla Kelly, a.k.a. Tampon Girl, and Darby Allin, who are also a real-life couple.
Really?
Yeah. They have a makeout off at one point, a makeout contest. And dude,
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, yeah, I'm not. Priscilla Kelly, the Tampon Girl, she spits into his mouth before laying like a fucking giant kiss on him. I'm like, okay, yeah. You know, whatever. But they're drinking and shit while they're fighting here. And at the end, she pukes on Everfly, which causes him to puke, and then he gets rolled up.
Huh.
So that's the deal. And she also did some vagina shit. She pulled something out of there. Not a tampon, but she was pulling her trunks down and shit quite a bit. Like, you can see, like, this chick shaves her bush, you know? That much you can see. So I think she's awesome. I'm all for it. She's like... It's got the SCL stamp of approval, man.
Like, I feel like she's going too far. Like, she don't need to puke. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was fucking pretty sweet. I thought it was entertaining.
Like, there's also people that like Gigi Allen, too, right?
I love Gigi Allen.
I know. Not really. Like, I'm fascinated by Gigi Allen. I don't like Gigi Allen.
Do you like the music?
Some of the music's good. Some of it's just outlandish just to be outlandish.
Oh, yeah, some of it sucks. But, like, you know, the ones that we've played on this show many times.
Yes, no, I'm talking about, like, Gigi Allen as a person.
Like, oh, well, yeah.
Her character in wrestling is basically Gigi Allen's personality.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I love it. I think that's great, man. I think, like, she's a foul fucking broad, and it's awesome. She spits in her boyfriend's mouth and kisses him. She pulls a tampon out and shoves it in a chick's mouth. She pukes on the motherfucker. Like, that's awesome. I like it, man.
I'm cool at everything aside from the puking.
That's the part you have a problem with.
Yeah, I don't want to. I just don't want to watch something where somebody's puking on somebody. It's just not my thing.
Yeah, she pukes on Everfly, which causes him to get rolled up for the win. Fucking awesome. And then your main event, dude. Ken Shamrock, Tom Lawler. What the fuck, man? Ken Shamrock is in absurd shape. He's wearing those, like, weird designer jeans, you know, that have, like, a big design on the back.
Oh, yeah. The big, thick, cotton fucking sewn ones.
Like, I don't know, but he's like... He's in unbelievable shape, 54 years old, Ken Shamrock.
I wonder how he got into that shape.
Vitamins, brother.
Jesus juice.
They brawl all over the place. Eventually, they go into the bathroom, which the camera cannot reach to. So the camera's just looking down a hallway for 2 minutes. Eventually, on Twitter, I did see that, he took Tom Lawler in the bathroom and flushed his head and shit.
God damn it, WCW in 1996 could follow people in the washrooms.
Yeah. The lady in the maid's bathroom. They come out of there, and, like, Lawler's crawling down the hole with a plunger in his hand, which is fucking rad. But then the feed cuts, and it cuts for, like, 10 minutes, 7 minutes.
Wow.
And then, luckily, and I was like, this is shitty, but 5 minutes later, it came back and it showed you from exactly where it cut off. So it was like, you know, I understand, actually. You know, I'm trying to do this shit. It's not easy. And if they would just, that was it, and you never saw the end, I would say bullshit. But the fact that they put it on there, I am totally willing to allow it, you know? But Shamrock wins with the ankle lock, so.
Yeah. I mean, I'm shocked, actually, that Shamrock won that match.
Yeah. Well, you know. That's just how it goes. They have a show tonight, too, so I'm going to probably check that out for next week. I forget what it's called. But it may have a ring. It may not have a ring. I have no fucking idea. So it's called Come Hell or High Water. It's by the same promoter. Ken Shamrock's also on it. I think Valentine is fighting, has a match with Mil Muertes.
Really?
Yeah, Casanova Valentine, Mil Mascaris death match. No. Yeah, it's Mil Muertes. I don't know what they're doing. I was like, he can work that gimmick? And Casanova was like, yeah, apparently. I don't know. Fucking no. It's going to be that or he's going to be Banderas.
And nobody wants to see Ricky Banderas.
Yeah. Overall, I thought this show, Ultimate Bar Brawl, I thought it was a fun show. It was different. If you're a fan of wrestling, you may not like it, but I'm a fan of fighting. I'm a fan of spectacle. So I liked it. I thought it was fun. They worked a lot of interesting shit in there. You know, I was for it. I think I would plan ahead a little bit and have like some more gimmicks in this place, you know, because like they were like doing spots on the couches, off the bar. They really did all they could with it, but I think you need to put more props kind of out there for them to use, tables and, you know, shit like that. Oh, also Casanova Valentine, garden weaseled that effy dude's stomach. So.
Oh, good. Well, because that's his MO, right?
Yeah, it's great. You should just check out his entrance. He comes out and he's like the fucking garden weasel in the air, like yelling motherfucker every second word. <It's> like, dumping beer on himself. Like, fucking awesome. But yeah, so there was that. I don't really have anything else. This show's long. Mrs. Vicious is sequestered in the fucking East Wing and she's angry and she wants to come out.
Tied up.
I'm going to feed her moldy pancakes under the door after this. Could I go let her out of her cage?
Want to go pee?
I'm surprised I haven't had to fucking furiously piss yet.
Honestly, I'm surprised too. We've been doing this for 2 hours and 22 minutes. The show's an hour and 50 minutes long. It's been a long time to not pee.
Well, some days it works out. I don't know. There's all the shit we could talk about, but I don't. Not really. I think we did a lot.
I think we've did enough.
I think it's good. Let's quickly give shout outs to all of our fucking content creator friends. THT Wrestling Podcast, Nuclear Heat Graphics, Inhuman Experience Podcast, Sat Pod, The Strap, Zealot Pro Wrestling. God damn, who else we got? Shooting the Shiznit.
We can't forget, too, that Zealot Pro had their first show last weekend.
Yeah. They actually talk about it on The Strap, so worth checking out.
Yeah, check out The Strap to find out more about that. Yep.
Yeah, Comedy Suplex, Mikey G, and Peach Machine. One of my fucking weekly wrestling listens right there. Who else am I forgetting? Smack It Down, Wrestling's High Marks.
You know. I think you got it all. The first podcast I ever did, the Semi Awesome Podcast, we're coming out with a new episode like 3 years after we stopped doing it. I don't know. So it's a podcast about nothing, really.
There you go.
And so we just chat about shit.
It's like the Seinfeld of podcasts?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. We just talk about whatever we want to talk about.
It's a podcast about nothing. All right. Here you go. Check that shit out. Where's that everywhere? Is that on MoFudge.com?
It's not going to be on MoFudge.com. It'll be on fatdog.com, I think. I think that's the actual URL. But that'll be out, I believe, February 8th.
Well, there you go, man. I think we've done it. I think we're good here.
I think so.
As always, we thank you very much for listening, supporting the show. We'll be back next week. We've undersold it. Next week is episode 200. Part of why I've undersold it is because I don't know what we're supposed to. Well, no, but like, what are we supposed to do? You know.
Well, next week's episode 200. We got the B+ players on.
There you go. I guess we got that.
Or is that next week? Or is that
week after? That's next week. Okay. Yeah, episode 200. I gotta talk to him, man. Maybe we can, you know, who knows? Maybe we can come up with something.
I will say, will we be able to do it on a Friday night? Because Nova Scotia is 3 hours difference from me.
Yeah, they said so.
Yeah, okay.
So, should be good. Hopefully that actually pans out.
Yeah, if you don't come B-plus player, shame on you. Shame.
Well,
you ruined episode 200. Don't ruin episode 200, I'm telling you. Or the new feed is going to be mad. We'll have
a milestone.
It is a core. It is a milestone.
200 weeks in a row of doing anything is pretty impressive, much less a two-hour wrestling podcast. So.
I mean, I can't pat myself on the back like that because I missed a week, and it's only been since episode 97. So,
for you. Well, you know, there you go. But if you've been here, you know, for 199 episodes or one episode, you know, we thank you very much for hanging out. If we didn't have anyone listening to this, it would be pointless to do. I'd still probably do it, but it would be pointless to do. So, you have anything else to add before we roll, man?
No. Take to heart the ad in the front.
The what?
The ad that's in the front of the show.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. And if either of those don't work for you, dude, at Suplex City Limit, you DM me and I'll talk to you. So that's going to do it. Thank you very much for listening. Till next week, may you get all the dick and or pussy desire. Remember, a winner is you. And most importantly, be excellent to each other.
Talking about I owe, harassing my spouse. Gotta park my truck on another block, cause the subprime loan got my ass in hock. Got a couple good friends with helping hands. I need a brand new job with a healthcare plan. They closed the plan and stole my job and told me crime don't pay unless you ask the mob. So I smoke a little grass, drink a little wine, watch a little tube, try to kill a little time. Every single day I'm about a little more behind, but I'm paying it no mind, it'll all be fine. I get by, I barely get by, I barely get by. People in the place to be, put your hands in the sky if you're barely getting by. Sounding on to the break of dawn, got to keep the rent paid and the power on. Yes, yes, y'all, and it never stops. I don't trust the government, I don't trust no cops. We dip and we dive and we socialize. We struggle and we strive just to stay alive. I get by, I barely get by. Get home, I can't relax, cause I've been overworked and I've been overtaxed. My bank account's empty, all my cards are maxed, and I ain't looking for no pity, I'm just stating the facts. I voted for some change, and it's kinda strange, now it's all I got in my pocket. I bought a few LEDs, now I'm growing some trees, and it's a sweet fucking hustle, don't knock it. I told y'all before I would break the law to put food in my baby girl's belly, cause the senator man took a bribing hand and went and shipped my job to New Delhi. I get by, I barely get by, I barely get by. Sounding on to the break of dawn, got to keep the rent paid and the power on. Yes, yes, y'all, and it never stops. I don't trust the government, I don't trust no cops. I dip and I dive and I socialize. I struggle and I strive just to stay alive. I get